I want to again ask your prayers as I stand before you this morning. If you would like to read with me in the scripture lesson today, I'd ask you to turn to the gospel according to Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 28. Luke chapter 19, beginning with the 28th verse. We're going to read about the Lord's entry into Jerusalem. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I want to stop my reading there with the 40th verse of that 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The title of my message today will be The Rightful Owner. This journey that the Lord was making to Jerusalem. If you go back in the chapter, if you go back just prior to this chapter and read, you'll find that he started this journey from Jericho. It's my understanding he had about 19 miles to travel, which, you know, to us today seems very, very meager. You know, it took a lot longer in that day to travel 19 miles, but that's about the distance of the journey that he had to go. And I want you to think with me about what happened here. They were going to bring the Lord into Jerusalem, riding a donkey, riding this colt, which was generally what would be done when a king was coming into his kingdom, coming into the presence of his subjects. They would generally ride. You can go back in the Old Testament and read how kings often upon their coronation, as Solomon did, that he rode on a mule. It seems that horses were more often what the kings would ride if they were going to battle. If they're riding a horse, you might think that the king is going into battle, but they were going to bring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into the holy city, Jerusalem. riding upon this colt, upon this donkey. And the Bible told us here that Jesus had told two of his disciples before they had come to Jerusalem, there at Bethpage and Bethany, that he had told two of his disciples that they were to go into this certain village, and there that they were to that they would find a colt tied, and they would find this young donkey tied up, and they were supposed to untie it and bring it to him. Now, you know, when I drive around the countryside, around here in Warren County, I see people that have donkeys on their farms. And when I first came down here, I didn't know why they had all those donkeys out there. So I asked somebody about that, and they told me that they believed that they had them there to keep the coyotes away from the calves. And I took them at their word because I didn't know if that was right or not. But that was what I was told, the purpose for which they had a donkey. Other than that, probably to many of the farmers around here where we see them with donkeys on their farm, they may not consider that to be a real prized possession to them. Probably not something, you know, if they lost for some reason, if their donkey got killed or something, probably wouldn't consider that to be a tremendous loss. But in the day that we're reading about, to own an animal like this meant a whole lot more than what it would mean to somebody in our day. And so, you know, when the Lord sent the two disciples to the village to loose this colt, to those who were the owners of it, this was not just a little meaningless possession. And so he sent them there to loose the colt and to bring it to him. And he told them, when you're doing this, if any man, ask you why that you're loosing this colt, that your answer is just simply to be because the Lord needs the colt, because the Lord hath need of him. Now, I realize that on the human level, strictly on the human level, that this may not work too well. If you went out in your driveway and somebody was taking your car, getting ready to take your car, and you said, well, why are you doing that? And they said, well, Bob over here on the other street, he needs it. That may not work out too well. But I want you to understand in this that the Bible tells us here that these, and the reason I chose to read Luke's account of this is that he told us, as opposed to Matthew or Mark, neither one mentioned this the way that Luke did in his account of it. But Luke told us that in verse 33 that as they were loosing this colt, that the owners thereof, the owners of the colt, said to them, why loose ye the colt? And they said to him, the Lord hath need of him. Now, I want you first of all, I want you to think about yourself. I want to ask you to put yourself in the situation. And I want you to think about your response, if you would have responded the same way that these men did, because we have, in this account, we have nothing that would make us to believe anything other than this, that when they were told that the Lord had need of this colt, that that was fine with them. They didn't put up a fuss or a fight or an argument or refuse it. And there was never, there was never to, and I've read all of the different accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke and even what John wrote about it. And I've not seen anything where there was any verbal promise made to them that it would be returned. It was just simply, the Lord needs it. And I think that certainly the positive response that these people gave, I believe certainly that there was something that they believed about what was being said to them. But I want you to think about what was really happening here, because, you know, if I go, and we all understand this, and this is something that we are taught not to do. In fact, it made the list of 10. It made the 10 commandments. One of the commandments was that we are not to steal. Thou shalt not steal. And we understand that if we go and we take something that does not belong to us, that's considered stealing, or that's considered thievery, and it's not right, and we are not to do it. But I want you to understand here that that is certainly not what the Lord Jesus was doing. Jesus was never guilty of any kind of sin. And yet he sent two of his disciples to a village where there was a colt tied, and he told these men, you just go and you just loose that colt and you take him. You take him. You are to bring him to me, and if you're questioned about it, you are to just simply tell them the Lord needs him. And I hope that I would like to think anyway that all of us, you know, as God's children, that all of us as his people would be that positive and that willing to give to the Lord the things that he has need of. Now, I realize the scriptures tell us, and the Lord was going to use this colt for a very distinct purpose. For one reason, he was going to use it that the scriptures of Zechariah may be fulfilled. That Zechariah, I believe it was, had prophesied that the king would come into Jerusalem in this manner. And so it was that scripture would be fulfilled, and he was going to use that. And I want you to notice that, the scriptures tell us that this was a colt that man had never sat on. It had to be a special one, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was going to ride this one. And he was going to use it in that way. And so when we think about what was done here, and even though that the Bible tells us in the 33rd verse that as they were loosing the colt, that the owners of the colt asked them why they were loosing the colt. But was Jesus really taking something that belonged to someone else? No. You know who the true owner? And I told you that my message today is the rightful owner. And you know who really owned the colt? The Lord did. The Lord owned that colt. He owns everything. And I want to share some verses with you, especially a couple of verses from the Psalm that speak about this, and in his ownership, they even speak about the animals. I assure you, the Lord was the owner of that colt, of that donkey. In Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 and 2, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. I mean, that pretty much encompasses it all, doesn't it? The Lord owns the earth. He owns the fullness of it. He owns the world. He owns they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now in the 50th Psalm, in verses 10 and 12, God actually speaks of his ownership of all of the animals. Who created them? God did. He created them. In Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 and 12, God says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beast of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We understand today that the Lord does not hunger, physically hunger, the way that we do. But if somebody, if some other person was hungry, and certainly, you know, we ought to be compassionate towards people, even towards their physical needs, and try to help people all that we can. But if somebody, even if they were doing it because they were hungry, it still would not be right for someone to come and take one of your cows or one of your other animals that you may have there on your farm and just take it without permission, just take it and use it for food. Even if they were hungry, that would still be stealing. It'd be stealing your animal. But God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I would not tell you. If God were in fact hungry and God needed to eat for sustenance the way that you and I do, and as I said, we know that he's not, but if he was, God would not have to ask our permission to take anything, would he? Why? Because it's already his. The owner doesn't have to ask. It already belongs to him. And I believe that's what God was saying here in this 50th Psalm. I own every beast of the field. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything that creeps upon this earth belongs to me. And if I had need of them, I would not tell you about it. Jesus did not send his disciples ahead of time to the men that the Bible tells us are the owners of this colt. Jesus, the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus sent them ahead of time and asked their permission to untie this colt and bring it to him. He just simply said, you go into this village here and you will find it tied up and you loose it and you bring it to me. And if they ask you why that you're doing that, you just tell them that you're taking it to the Lord, that he needs it. I want you to consider this question with me today. And I believe, folks, listen, I believe as God's people that we really need to get this straight. This is a concept that we really need to understand. And I believe and I'm convinced that if and when we do, it will help us to better serve the Lord. Do we really ever own anything? I want you to think about that. I know today that if we went around and we ask each other, well, what do you own? We may talk about a house or a car or a pocket knife or some type of material thing or whatever it may be and say, yeah, well, this is what I own. But I want you to think with me do we ever really ever actually own anything? Do we? Does God ever really grant us ownership, or does He just simply grant us stewardship? Do we own it, or are we simply here the things that God blesses us with in that way? Are we simply the stewards over them? I read somewhere, a comment that a writer had made about this, and they said in their comment, and I, to be honest with you, I disagreed with it. They said in the one of the scholars wrote that the Lord had sent two of His disciples there, and that He sent them there to borrow that colt. No, I don't believe the Lord borrowed it. He sent His disciples there to get it. If it would have been borrowed, I believe there would have been an agreement to have promptly returned it to who the Bible says were the owners. But the Lord simply sent His disciples there to get that colt. And so, we may speak about the things that we own, but I'm much more inclined to believe that we are stewards rather than owners. And as I said, I believe that if we can get that in our minds and into our hearts and realize that while we live in this life, that the things that we believe that we own are those things that God is simply allowing us to use while we live here in this world. There's a saying among men that possession is 9/10 of the law. But God is not bound to that, is He? God is not bound to that type of thing. I want to say this. I respect people that make sacrifices for the Lord. And I would never want to say anything that would imply anything different from that. I respect people that make sacrifices to serve the Lord, no matter what or how much an individual may sacrifice, whether it's of time, whether it's of financial resources, whether it's a sacrifice of some type of comfort, or anything that a person may sacrifice in order to serve the Lord. And to ask the question, is there anything? Think about it. In your own heart and in your own mind, is there anything that we ever do in the service of the Lord where it could not be truthfully said that all that I have done is what I'm supposed to have done? All that I have done is what is expected of me. I'll tell you what, when it comes to the one that ought to be honored and the one that ought to be praised for sacrifice, we need to give that to Jesus, because He's the one that really left it all behind. The Lord's the one that really made the sacrifice. The Lord left glory. He left heaven there in the presence of God and the glory that He had with the Father. And He emptied Himself. He humbled Himself. And He came down to this world and He took up on Him the form of flesh, and He lived in a body that He might give His life a ransom for our sins. And so if you want to praise somebody and honor somebody and boast of somebody for the sacrifice that has been made, you give that to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's really the one that has given it up. The Bible says that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And when the Lord saved me, He certainly made me rich. And when He saved you, He made you rich. So, it can always be said that whatever we have done was just what we should have done, and what we were created to do. Listen, today, if you have any question, if anybody here today has any question in your mind why that you were created and why that you're here, I want to answer that for you today. I want you to know, I don't like to see people confused about that. I've had people in my life, I've heard people in my life rather make the statement that they just don't understand why they're here. They don't know why that they're on the earth. I want to tell you something today. The reason that every one of us was created and put here was that we might give honor and glory to the one that created us, that we might reverence him, and that we might serve him. And that's the whole purpose for why that we are here. A wise man named Solomon once made that known. He said, fear God. Reverence him. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And boy, I'll tell you what, listen, if you have been saved by the grace of God, I want you to know today that not only does God own everything that you may think that you own, not only does God own all of it, but he owns you as well. He owns you today. The Bible says we are bought with a price. We may make a big to-do sometimes, maybe about something that we may do. We may boast of ourselves, or we may boast of our children, or we may boast of somebody else. We may say, look at what that person has done. But I'm telling you, if we just give everything to the Lord, I mean, if we willingly in our heart just let go of everything to the Lord, all that we've done is what we are supposed to have done in the first place. And all we have done is fulfilled the reason for why that we were made. You know what? I do believe that the Bible proves that God has a love for mankind that exceeds the love that he has for animals, that he has for the trees. Boy, you know, I'll tell you what, there's some people today that are more concerned with the trees than they are the babies. That's pretty sad, isn't it? God has a love for mankind that exceeds the love that he has for the things that he's made, such as the stars, that exceeds his love for animals. He even exceeds his love, I believe, for the angels, the holy angels that he created. God has a special love for mankind. I believe that was proven to us and is proven to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when God said that it was man that was to replenish and to subdue the earth, that he was to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Man was to have dominion over all of those things. God did not make the plan of salvation for the animal kingdom. Now, I don't ever say anything about this to hurt anybody's feelings. But I believe that we ought to preach the truth and know the truth. And you know, my little dogs are not going to heaven with me. God did not make redemption for the animals. He made it for man. He made it for man. He didn't even make it for the angels. You know, when an angel falls, he's fallen. That's it. There is no redemption even for the holy angels of God. God showed his love, his superior love for the human race by making the plan of salvation only beneficial to us. We're the only ones that can take advantage of his plan of salvation. But even with that, isn't it true? You may not like this comparison, but isn't it true that in one respect, that you and I, we are nothing more than what this donkey was. We're nothing more than what this colt was, in that we were made to be used of the Lord, however and whenever that He chooses. Do you think God has the right today to ask you for anything and everything that you have? I do. He is the rightful owner to begin with. And, you know, you can say, well, preacher, are you going to stand up there and tell me that the money that I might have really does not belong to me? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Amen. That God is allowing us to use it, to have stewardship over it. And I'm going to prove that to you from the scriptures. When the temple was being rebuilt and the things that were being used were being brought to be used for the rebuilding of the temple in the book of Haggai, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord made this statement. He said, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, when David was speaking about the building of the original temple, you know, the temple that Solomon built, and they were talking in that 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles about the things that were being used and the things that were being brought and given to be used in the temple. And David began to praise the Lord. Read 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David is really praising God for who He is. "Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the honor and the power and the greatness. All things are of You." And he was really giving God praise. And in the 14th verse of 1 Chronicles 29, this is what David said about those type of resources. He said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." Do you ever stop and realize that when we make our offering to the Lord, whether it's a financial offering or an offering of our time or something like that, that we're offering to Him from what He already owns? That's what David was saying. "The offerings that I have made, I have given to You from that which was Yours. For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own we have given Thee." Why did Jesus say that if we wanted to be a disciple? I want you to remember, I told you a moment ago that I believe if we can grasp this concept, if we can grasp the concept of what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth, when he said, "You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's." Why did Jesus put such strict requirements upon being a disciple? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ teach us this? What we find recorded in the 14th chapter of Luke in verse 33, that whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. If we're not willing to let go of it all, if we're not willing to give it all to the Lord, can we ever really truly serve Him the way that we are supposed to? Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, you've got to do what? You've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You know why? Because if you don't, I'll tell you who will win. You'll end up being more important to you than God will. If you don't deny yourself, then yourself will win out in the long run. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I believe in these things that have been spoken about here. This is the conclusion of it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which will take you above and beyond the call of duty. No, which is your reasonable service. What was Paul saying there? To give up everything is what? To boast of? No, it's your reasonable service. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, every one of us here today that has been saved had to do that. If you didn't do it, you wouldn't have got saved. We had to give everything to the Lord. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God in your heart, you're going to have to surrender everything to the Lord. You're going to have to give yourself to Him completely. God will not allow us to hang on to one thing and be saved. We have got to lose our life in order for it to be saved. If you are saved, you did that. All of us did that. Whether you may have been even mentally conscious of it or not, I'll tell you what, before the Lord saved you, in your heart, you gave Him everything. You promised Him everything. You promised Him your life in its entirety. And I wonder, I'll ask the question about myself. You can ask the question about yourself. Have we kept our promise to the Lord? Have we kept it? What if it were your colt that the disciples came to take away? The Lord has the eternal right to ask of me whatever He will ask. Whatever. He has the eternal right to move up on my heart and command of me to give Him everything. Everything. Because when I do, all that I'm doing is giving to Him what's already His. Make an offering to Him from what already belongs to the Lord. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot more to what happened there than two men simply going to get a young donkey. They were taking that to the Lord. We, as the church, we are that beast of burden. You know what we do? What was that donkey doing? He was carrying the word. Isn't that what we are supposed to do as the church? Amen. Carry the word. We are to bear the Lord Jesus up on our shoulders before the whole world. What did Jesus say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. What is our job as the church? To lift Him up before the world, to exalt Him before the world. Oh, they were taking their coats off, and they were, and that was valuable to them. You know, the scripture that talks about where Jesus said, if a man sues you at the law and takes away your coat, give him your cloak also. That was a valuable thing to those people in that day. they were taking their coats and their clothes, and they were laying them there before the Lord, and they were taking these palm branches and spreading them because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was coming into the holy city of Jerusalem. And I'll tell you what, everything that we have, we ought to lay it down there at the feet of the Lord for him to walk on. We ought to exalt him that way in our lives because he owns it. We're merely the stewards of it while we live here. If you're here today and you're lost, I'll tell you what, if your heart is not willing to surrender everything to the Lord, it'll hinder you greatly. In fact, you won't be able to be saved unless you're willing to give everything up to the Lord. I gave him my life. Gave him my life. And it's his. And, you know, whatever plight that God chooses for me, you know, whatever that I may have to suffer in this world, I don't have any right to complain. I don't have any right to complain about it. You know, God has the right to take me right now. He does. He's got the right to stop my breath and take me. I mean, it belongs to him. And I have no right to question God or to complain before God. I hope that somehow this has been helpful to you. We think we have so much control over things at times that we really don't have control over at all. And we think it's ours when it's not ours. It's the Lord's. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I hope that something that's been said today has helped you in some way. Those are the thoughts that the Lord gave to me to share with you today.